her absolutely right to stay out of the thing. If Congress would let them knock themselves around on it. I think Congress has now demonstrated to the country that they're playing politics with this thing. I believe, however, that unless they pass something, get something out, that it'll, that you'll be the one who's hurt, as always. And it's, Congress has a lot of anonymous guys, but it'll be for the president who's failed to take action, or has been unable to take action. I think so, sir, and I think that'll hurt politically in the long run. I feel that one on the merits in terms of inflation and what it'll do to this country and to politically, that some Johnsonian response here is needed. And by Johnsonian, I mean clear, direct, forceful, and one that looks as if it's done political. Now, I doubt if the Congress is going to pass anything on prices and wages across the board.
They tell me we wouldn't get 20 votes.
Yes, sir, I know that. But I have a feeling that president, unless the steel price can be rolled back, I have a feeling that maybe you'd be well advised to say to the Congress that some legislation is necessary to deal with this situation, and that in the airline strike, you're asking them to stay at it to get something passed, and that they can do it either by directly doing it themselves or by authorizing you to do it. Ways and means is not important. Whose responsibility it is not important, but the machinery has to be provided. But at the same time they're doing that, they also ought to provide a mechanism for a rollback on basic prices, where the price rise is in a basic commodity in such dimensions. Try to roll back for 90 days with support to the Congress for possibility, let's say, of extension for another 90 days, something like that. I know this is, seems to be the thing to do.
Wait just a minute.
The Johnson administration is trying to persuade major steel producers not to follow the lead of three of their number in raising prices. Jones and Lockman and Arnco Steel yesterday joined Finland Steel in upping their prices of sheet and strip steel by $2 to $3 a ton. Chairman Gardner Ackley, the President's Council of Economic Advisors, acquired the other major producers, asking them to hold off on increases. The giants of the industry, U.S. Steel and Bethlehem, have not made any moves so far. The administration hopes that if the two big producers don't raise their prices, the others will have to roll their prices back. A watered-down version of the open house in second.
All right, go ahead.
Well, that's the long-term idea. Immediately, in terms of this, the effort has to be made to get the steel prices back, I think somebody ought to call the Rockefeller people and the Morgans and the Federal Reserve, your leading bankers, and tell them that this steel price increase is something that the nation can't stand, and that it raises questions throughout the country. You're getting problems about the increase in interest charges by the banks, and that the administrations. Just going to have to go into this thing right across the boards unless there's a rollback on the steel prices. Those are the fellas that get your rollback on steel, you know. And because what's happening on interest rates.
Wait a minute, they got this Buford Ellington stuff on.
The nomination for governor. He is opposed by John Hooker, a young attorney who has been associated with Senator Robert Kennedy. Incumbent Senator Rob Bass is seeking renomination. Governor Frank Thomas, who has sought a seat in the Senate before, is opposing Bass. Tennessee Republicans are holding their first.
I guess they figure Hooker's going to win because they've been playing him up the last 2 days big, the Kennedy forces.
Well, I went from my own state now. It's maybe wrong from Memphis, you know. And that it's going to be close, but that Ellington may take it. Yeah, I hope he does. All my family, though, working for him.
I expect we ought to have gotten into that one. All the labor and all the negros.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people we serve are very active for Hooker.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we stand up here and fight for him, and Bobby guts the hell out of him. And then they go vote the other way.
Yeah.
I was here the other night with Petoskey and all his people down there, all voting for Hooker. No reason. Hooker was a lobbyist. I got up here for the minimum wage against it. Guess he'll win it. Abe, we have taken such a strong position against any resolution on the five airlines struck. I think we just look ridiculous if we change that attitude. Now, I think we could have an affirmative one of control. I think we've got to do everything we can on steel. I don't know quite how to do it. We've asked them to come in. They're coming, but I don't see that we have many weapons that we can use on them. We've tried them before, and it looks like to me that it's just a fellow out in the middle of a big ocean when he gets into these things. The White House actually has no power. The Attorney General, I guess, could use some, but they surface you pretty quickly there, and you get lots of troubles. We, Bethlehem's coming in. Now, did you ever talk to Armco?
Yeah, but my good, dear friend, Bill Verity, fine fella, I tried to reach him, and I was told that he had returned my call. He called me after they had sent the telegram, read it to me. He knew damn well what it was coming.
Why did he want to do it? Why did he want to raise?
He said that their profits have dropped 10%, that they've been watching this thing, and that it's not much of an increase in the usual kind of stuff. He said on the export thing, on the import problem, that they understand that the German producers want to raise their prices, and they're going to. This thing goes through NICA to start an antitrust look-see at, we can do it either quietly or with a lot of fanfare at what's going on between our steel people and the German steel people, and whether they've made a cartel type of arrangement. And they want to wait until the Germans increase their prices too. But I suspect that, I suspect that behind all of this is some kind of an arrangement or understanding with the German steel producers. Will increase, and they're going to increase. See, I don't trust these guys at all. I think I've worked with them enough so that I'm firmly convinced that whatever they do by common understanding.
How do they communicate with each other?
Oh, guys, they do it through their lawyers. Or clubs, and very informally. So they see one another, they all go to the same clubs. The old days, they used to do it through the Iron Steel Institute. I trust they're sophisticated enough not to do that anymore, although they did it very recently. But they see one another at clubs, and finish a golf game, what the hell are they going to talk about? I mean, these things get harder and harder to prove as these fellows get more and more sophisticated. Although Steele, this last one, they'll become sophisticated about that.
Well, did he have any feeling that he was hurting the government's interest in the country by doing it?
No, he thought it was so small. He said it'd just be $3 on an automobile and 3 cents on a refrigerator stove and 5 cents on a refrigerator, something like that. Those terrific sums when you start multiplying them by the add-ons, everybody's add-on all along the line, the fabricators and the dealers, interest rates, and start multiplying it by the number of cars, number of refrigerators, and so on. He said it was very little, didn't amount to anything, they just had to do it. That their pension costs were going up as of, had gone up as of August 1st, and that their other costs were going up, and that they hadn't had an increase in many years. You know, it's a pet story, and they've got a perfect case for price increase if there didn't exist what I believe to be a national emergency. You know, if this were just an ordinary times, they'd have every reason in morality and economics for a hell of a good price increase. The plain fact of the matter is that what we're asking them to do is to take some of the burden of keeping the economy steady.
All right, now we can't, I don't see how we can. I think they'll probably develop today. They won't pass anything. They tell me the labor unions have got to the House committee tied, McCormick tied, and they don't believe that they'll pass any legislation forcing these workers back to work. If they do, they won't go. They have a lot of absenteeism, and the mechanics won't show, and but the only way we're really going to get them back is to get Meany to get the 10 leading leaders of the unions in and try to talk them into it and do it voluntarily, and then try to give them the same kind of structure that we're talking about legislatively. Maybe a 180-day setup where they can, everything's retroactive, which it is now. But I don't believe that I could have words go testify that we don't want a bill, and I could say to Dirksen as late as yesterday, we don't want a bill. We're not going to ask you to force this bill. I didn't say I'd veto it. I just said that we're not going to ask you to, because it was our thought, our feeling, that the planes going to Florida and a few to Honolulu, and 50% of them still running, that this was not something that required law. If it did, we'd sure be called on it next week when they strike AT&T. They're going to tie up all the communication. We would the next week when they strike the electric companies, General Electric, the rest of them, because they do make a lot of output out there. And maybe we have to do something when it gets one of the key ones, but when you're just hauling a few New York folks to vacations and they go overnight on a train, it's pretty hard to make case. No department could do it, either health or security or any other way. And that is our position, and I think it would be almost disastrous to just say, well, I talked to Abe, changed my mind this morning. That's a posture.
I didn't know.
Yeah, we've done that publicly. We've done it strong as we know how. Wirtz has testified. We had 11 people in the meetings. We had Clark, and Clark feels stronger than anybody else in the light of his experience that you've got to have a pretty good case before you force a man or try to force him to work.
Right.
And that nobody had a case. Nobody could. McNamara said it's help defense.